We're going to look this evening at this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told of the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins. We find it here in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25, and we'll briefly go through the story. Now, you may understand that weddings in those days were not the kind of weddings that we have. If you have a wedding in London today, you'd probably arrange for a time, wouldn't you? Maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. You'd tell people to turn up to the church, and everybody would be sitting there in the pews or at the registry office, and then the bride would come in and the groom, and the service would take place. Then afterwards, perhaps, you'd have a meal, you'd invite people to stay, maybe they'd stay for the whole evening, and there would be some sort of celebration. But in those days, weddings were a little bit different. They used to last a number of days, you know. They could last even for a couple of weeks, the wedding celebrations. And people had to travel a long distance. Remember, of course, that there were no cars and there were no trains or airplanes in those days. So people who'd come for a long way, well, they'd need to stay the night and they'd need to be fed. They'd need to be looked after. And it was a source of great pride for a father of the bride or a father of the groom to put on a great party and to feed people, give them a wonderful feast with the best food and the best wine and to entertain them. And people would remember that wedding for a long time to come. Well, here we read, there were 10 bridesmaids, 10 young girls, virgins, probably teenagers, you would have thought. And their job was to accompany the bridegroom from his house to the wedding feast, which may have been in another village. And as was the way in those days, there was no set time. They had to wait a long time. In fact, they were waiting until midnight for the bridegroom to be ready. In our culture, it's usually the bride that keeps everyone waiting at the wedding, isn't it? But here, it was the bridegroom, keeping everyone waiting, getting ready, making sure that his party was ready to travel to the next village. And it was late, and these 10 bridesmaids were sleeping and slumbering, waiting until he was ready. Now, we're told in this parable, which of course is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, we're told that there were 5 of these virgins, these bridesmaids, who were foolish, and 5 who were wise. The wise ones had their little oil lamps with them, which would have had a little wick, a little flame, and a little place to put the oil. They had their lamps with them, but they also had a flask of spare oil, so that when the oil ran out of their lamp, they could top it up and keep that lamp burning. What use would they be? If they were to go to this wedding in this procession in the middle of the night without their lamps, they would have been no use whatsoever. They wouldn't have been able to see where they were going. There were no street lamps in those days. They wouldn't have been able to accompany the procession. They would have been worse than useless. So 5 had spare oil. They were wise. And 5 had no oil. They were expecting the bridegroom to come many hours beforehand. They were expecting not to have to wait until midnight. They didn't realize that they were going to use up all of their oil before it became time to go with the bridegroom to the wedding. So when the time came, they were surprised. They were shocked. They had been dozing in the evening heat, no doubt, in that hot place. And their lamps there had been burning and flickering away. And now they'd given up. It was midnight. And when they were told, when the call came, the bridegroom is coming, they jumped up from their sleep. And they looked at their lamps, and with horror they realized they'd made a mistake. The lamps had gone out. They had no spare oil. And so these 5 foolish virgins turned to the 5 wise and they said, "Please, let us have some of your oil." But the 5 wise said, "No, we can't let you have any of ours because there won't be enough to go around. We need what we have. We were sensible and we bought spare supplies with us. If we give them to you, then none of us will have enough oil." So the bridegroom came. 5 were ready and they went with him to the procession and into that wedding, and the door was closed and 5 stayed behind, scurrying around, seeing if they could find somebody who would sell them oil in the middle of the night. But it was too late. And we find that the door is closed. Don't know why they would close the door in those days on a wedding. I don't know why latecomers couldn't be let in. But for some reason, this was the case. I'm sure it wasn't as surprising to the people that Jesus was talking to as it is to us. But the door was closed. Perhaps the wedding feast was being held in a grand house which had a wall around the outside, and there was danger and robbers and people who would come in and try and disrupt the party. So the door was bolted shut and these ones could not be let in. But the picture that we have here, what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, he's talking about the end of the age when the bridegroom comes. What he means is the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The end of the earth's history or the end of your life. Ultimately, when it's time for you to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, when that time comes, will you be like one of these wise virgins, or will you be like one of these foolish ones? The wise virgins were ready for the coming of Christ. They were ready for that second coming. They had been waiting for him, and they were prepared. And when he came, they welcomed him with open arms, and they were taken into that wedding feast, which is a picture of heaven. They went into heaven with their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the foolish ones, although they had been waiting for him, although they were looking for his coming, when he actually came, they were not ready. And the Lord Jesus Christ is warning us. He's saying, will you be ready on that day? If the Lord Jesus Christ was to come tonight, would you be ready? Would you be prepared? Or would you be shut out of heaven? So that's what the parable means. I've got four very brief points. I shan't be speaking for very long this evening, don't worry. But the first point is this. The second coming of Christ will find many, many people in the church who have never really been saved. That's the main point that's being made, first of all, here. You see, these virgins, all 10 of them, were waiting for the bridegroom. That's like all the people that call themselves Christians and are looking forward to going to heaven, looking forward to when the second coming happens or when they die and go to the next life. They are looking forward to being with Christ. They can't wait for him to come. And yet, it will turn out in that day that many people who thought that they were Christians, who thought that they were safe, will be disappointed, will be surprised, will be shocked, will be horrified to find that they're shut out of heaven. Look at that verse 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to people who want to get into heaven on that last day. And they think that they're Christians because they've always been to church and they've always read their Bibles and they grew up in families that were Christian and they grew up in countries that were Christian perhaps. And they went to church and they gave money to the church and they read their Bibles and they sang songs and hymns and they had Christian friends. Does that not mean that they're going to heaven? Well, not necessarily, no. None of those things in and of themselves mean that you're going to heaven. Just because your mum and dad were Christians, just because you go to church or you're a member of a church, maybe you've even been baptized, you take communion, that doesn't mean that you're going to heaven for sure. You might be like one of these foolish virgins who thought that they were okay, who thought that they were ready. But when the bridegroom comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, they get a terrible, terrible shock. This is a very strong warning to us. What would you have said if you could go back in time and speak to those 10 virgins at 6 o'clock in the evening? If you knew what was going to happen, what would you say to them? You'd say, be careful. Make sure that you've got plenty of oil. You, that 5 of you have got flasks of spare oil, but you other 5, quickly go to the shops now and buy some more oil so that you are ready if the bridegroom doesn't come until the middle of the night. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you now. The Lord hasn't come again yet. You haven't died and gone to face the judgment. But be ready. Are you sure you're ready? Are you sure that you're prepared? Are you sure that you are in a position to meet your Maker tonight? That's what this parable is saying. It's a frightening warning. It's a stark warning, but it's a kind warning. Because otherwise we might just stumble off day after day, going through our lives as if nothing has changed. We might think that we are okay. But the Lord is saying to us through this parable, check yourself. Take care. Be careful. Make sure. Make certain that you are saved. The second point that I want to make is that the second coming of the Lord will take a great number of people by surprise. Do you see what they said about the bridegroom tarried in verse 5, and they all slumbered and slept. And then, at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet them." And then, they jump up. They're surprised. Oh, we didn't expect him to come in the middle of the night. We thought he'd be here hours ago. Oh, we've been asleep. We're not ready. And that not being ready for the five foolish virgins meant that they were shut out. Shut out of that wedding. But this, of course, is not about missing out on a wedding or missing out on a feast. It's about something far more important. It's about missing out on heaven. Because you've been taken by surprise. How many people have died young? Far younger than they should have died. Have been taken by a car accident or by a heart defect they didn't know they had. Or even being murdered. I told you, didn't I, about a friend of mine who was preaching a funeral service a few months ago. And the people sitting there were listening. And he was talking about death because it was a funeral service, saying to them, be ready. And there was a young family there. They didn't look like they were at death's door. They didn't look like they were about to leave this life. But as they drove home that evening, they got caught up on that big pile-up that was on the M5, and they were killed. Shocking. We don't like to frighten people into heaven, but we have to be serious. We have to be very serious. Will we be ready? Are we ready now? We can't be foolish about this. We can't leave it until we're 99 years old. We can't leave it until tomorrow. We have to take and deal with these matters soon. Shall I tell you what it's going to be like when the Lord comes again? Shall I explain to you what will be happening in the world when the second coming happens? Well, I'll tell you. There'll be business going on, companies buying and selling and shares being traded. There'll be politics going on, elections taking place. People losing their seats in Parliament, other people making bids to be presidents, all that will be happening. Men and women, ordinary men and women, will be going about buying and selling things. They'll be buying their shopping down at Asda. They'll be selling their unwanted Christmas presents on eBay. They'll be all doing that sort of thing. Ordinary stuff going on. Some people will be pleasure-seeking. Lots of people will be pleasure-seeking. You know, on the day the Lord comes, there'll be plenty of people in nightclubs. Plenty of people just about to go off on their summer holidays. Plenty of people in expensive restaurants, eating nice food. All sorts of things like that be going on. And then there'll be the usual grumblers. People moaning about life and society and the schools and the state of the roads. Oh yeah, there'll be people grumbling all over the place. Others will be laughing. Be laughing at comedians. Laughing at themselves. Laughing at their lives. Laughing at all manner of things. There'll be churches. Of course there will. Churches will still be arguing amongst themselves about how to do various things and what the Bible really says. There'll be ministers of the gospel like me, still urging people to come and to be saved. There'll still be people being called to repentance. There'll still be people listening to the gospel and ignoring it and resisting it and saying maybe next week. And then, suddenly, he will appear. Will it be tonight? Will it be in 50 years' time? I don't know. But someday the Lord will come again. Someday your life will end. And that will be that. That will be the end of things. How surprised people will be. You might say, I know who will be the most surprised when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with his angels, with the trumpets, when the whole world can see him coming down. It'll be the atheists. They'll be so shocked, they'll say to themselves, oh! I never knew there was a God. I always thought there was no God in heaven. And now I see him. I'm so shocked. But you know, they won't be that shocked, the atheists. Deep down in their hearts, they know there is a God. Everyone does. They've just conned themselves and lied to themselves and convinced themselves that there isn't a God. But they'll be surprised. Yes, they'll be shocked. And then there'll be those people who think that they're Christians. They've always called themselves Christians. They've gone to church a few times a year. Their families are Christians. And they've got a Bible at home, not that they ever read it. And sometimes they say their prayers at night. Those people will be shocked. They'll be shaken. Or they'll say to themselves, I've never taken this as seriously as I should have done. I've never really given this the attention I ought to have done. I've always thought that I was okay, but actually I spent all of my life just trying to get rich and trying to be happy and trying to make a way for myself. Why did I never give this more attention? I'm so foolish. Even true believers, you know, even those who really have been saved will be shocked. Because really we're half asleep in a way. We're not doing half of the things that we should do. Oh, we'll be amazed. We'll all be shocked when that bridegroom comes. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. When the end of our life comes and we have to go and face Him. My third point is this. When the Lord comes again, many, many will find out the true value of saving religion. But it will be too late. Just think about it. At 6 o'clock in the evening, those foolish virgins could have gone and bought oil from any number of places. They had money in their pockets. They could have gone and bought as much oil as they needed. They could have bought a flask. They could have had enough oil for 10 evenings. But when it was freely available, they didn't value it. They didn't think to go and get it. They ignored it. They passed up the opportunity of buying oil. A few hours later, it was no longer available. It was midnight. All the shops were shut. They didn't have time to go and find someone, get them out of bed and give them any oil. And now they felt it was the most valuable thing in the world to have some oil. This is what they desperately wanted above everything else. Oh, now they needed their oil so they could go on this procession. And it was so valuable to them. Oh, you see how the value of that oil changed. Well, it's the same with the gospel. Let me explain this to you. You know, now people don't value the gospel. They don't give it any thought. You preach out in the streets, you give out the leaflets and the literature, they're not that bothered. No thanks, mate. I don't need it. I'm all right, they say. That's what they always say. I'm all right. I don't need it. As if it was rubbish you were offering to them. But actually you're offering them the most valuable thing in the whole world. But whilst it is freely available, the gospel, whilst you can go into a church or go onto the internet and listen to good sermons or read the Bible and read good books, whilst the gospel day is open, most people count it as valueless. They don't want it at all. How things will change in that last day. If the Lord were to come tomorrow with 10,000 of his saints, with the trumpets blasting, then men and women would say, where's that gospel we've heard about? Where is it? I need it now. Where is that grace that I've been told about when I was in Sunday school? I rejected it at the time. I counted it as valueless. But now I need it. But it will be too late. It'll be far too late. Too late will these people realize the value of the message that you are hearing this evening. Oh, my friends, I beg you, I plead with you, not for my sake, but for your sake and for the sake of your Creator God. Do not undervalue the gospel this evening. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ whilst this day of grace is open. Come and confess your sins to Him and ask Him to wash you clean and ask for His free salvation. He will not turn you away. Oh, how the world despises the gospel. But how it will long for it when it's too late. I pray that you would not be like that. Come to the gospel. Come to the Lord now while it is still freely available. My last point this evening, I'm going to come to conclusion with this point, is that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, true Christians will receive a very great reward. Those wise virgins were taken on that a procession and they went into the feast with the bridegroom. And this is a wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ will do for us in that last day. Here in the Lord Jesus Christ is the person who has done so much for you. He died for you. He lived a perfect life in your benefit. He sent the Holy Spirit to help you in your life. Here has been this person in the Lord Jesus Christ who's been such an influence for good for you. Oh, how he rescued you from a life of sin. Oh, how he set your feet in the right path. Oh, how he pointed you in the right direction. Hear this Lord Jesus Christ, who has done all good things for you. Where would you have been without him? Where would you have been in your life if you'd never found the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're a Christian, you will be able to say these things.
You'll be able to say, without the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be nothing. I would be worse than nothing. I would be condemned to hell. And if you're a Christian, you would say, how could I face life without the Lord Jesus Christ? What disasters has He rescued me from? Oh, if I tried to live my life, you will say as a Christian, without the Lord Jesus, well, I would have fallen into so many pits and so many traps, and my life would have been a disaster. He's rescued me from all of those things. And if you're a Christian, you'll say, this Lord Jesus Christ, He's been my teacher. He's shown me how to live. He's shown me what to do. He's given me His commandments, which aren't like rules forbidding me to do things that I want to do. They are guidance for a blessed life. Oh, what blessing I've found in my life because of Him. How well He has taught me. And He's been my guide also, you will say. He's shown me wisdom in all the difficult decisions of life. When I had to decide who to choose to marry. When I had to decide who to live, where to live, and which career to go into, and how to bring up my children. He has been my guide. He has shown me the way, all the way through my life, in all the major decisions. This is what you'll be able to say as a Christian. He's been my comforter. He's wiped away all the tears from my eyes, and I've served Him all the days of my life. And now you will say on that last day, my suffering is over. The waiting is over. I will not sin against Him anymore. I will not fail Him anymore. I will not be apart from Him anymore. I'm going to be with Him in heaven forever. And I'm going to receive my very great reward. That's what awaits those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have to ask the question, have you ever really been saved? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Has there been a time in your life when you came under great conviction of sin and you felt so bad because you knew who'd broken God's law? And He humbled you down to the dust and there was no arrogance left in you and there was no excuses left in you. No, you bowed down before Him and you said, Lord, I am a sinner. And you realized you couldn't save yourself. So you just threw yourself at His feet and you said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. You yielded up your life to Him and you trusted Him when He said that He would forgive your sins and give you a new heart and take you to be with Him in heaven when you died. You've experienced that. If you have, your life would have changed direction completely. You would have turned away from your old sins and you would have started to live a life of righteousness and goodness. You still would have fallen into traps. You still would have made mistakes, but your life would be a life dedicated to being better, to being more like the Lord Jesus Christ, day by day. Have you ever really been saved, my friends? I ask you that in love. Will the second coming take you by surprise? Will you be shocked to find that all the things that are written in this Bible are actually true? Will it be a matter of astonishment for you that the world's history comes to an end? Just when the Lord Jesus Christ chooses it to. Or is that something you're looking forward to? Something that you're waiting for? Something that you're ready and prepared for? Have you got all the supplies of gospel grace that you need? The foolish virgins ran out of oil. They had none of that stuff which they so desperately needed when the hour came. How about you? Has the Lord Jesus Christ shed His grace abroad in your life? Has He washed your sins away? Has He promised to keep you to the end? Has He given you assurance and certainty of salvation? Or are you lacking that? Are you still missing that? Do you know that you don't have any of those things? Come to Him now before it's too late. Are you looking forward to your reward? Are you ready? Waiting with anticipation? With excitement? Looking forward to that day when you leave this veil of tears, this miserable life behind, and go to be with your Saviour. Is that where you're facing? Is that where your treasure is? Is that what you're looking for? What are you more like? The wise virgin or the foolish virgin? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening before it is too late. Make sure you are safe in Him. Come and seek Him with all of your heart and you will find Him. And He will wash your sins away, and you will be forever safe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.